So basically, from what I've gathered from hearing it from you, all these years I've thought it was like a drug and naked and music festival, which I'm sure
there's,
is part of
there's
it.
There's certainly plenty of all those things. You're not going to see people doing drugs blatantly because it is a real town. It is Nevada's third largest town for that week. It has sheriffs, it has rangers, it has all the law enforcement. And Nevada has tougher drug laws than we do here in California.
Okay.
There's no medical marijuana cards, anything like that. So you just can't be walking out in the open smoking a joint or doing anything. So you're not going to see people doing drugs.
Gotcha.
And you need to be careful going in. They have drug sniffing dogs. I mean, they take it pretty seriously.
Okay.
Now, that said, still tons of drugs, I'm sure, being used there. Lots of big rave parties. That's not the reason I go.
Right.
And nudity is allowed because it's a private event. So at any given time, you might see 5% of the people just walking around nude, men and women. But that doesn't seem to be a huge thing. It's just the freedom of it.
So the biggest part of it, though, is that basically a city is being built, and not a haphazard city.
No,
but
not at all.
A grid perfect city,
yeah.
That has different elements of it. I mean, describe what people build.
It's huge. Well, the infrastructure goes first, which takes, I'm sure, months to make a perimeter of this festival. All the big art projects go in, and they're funded in part by Burning Man. You know, it's a corporation that has an operating budget of about $23 million.
Jeez.
It's a nonprofit, but I'm sure somebody's making
Larry
Harvey, the founder of Burning Man, is, I'm sure, not doing bad. And then after that, the people come in. There is porta potties. There's no showers. You have to be really in a different mindset there. You're going to be covered in dust the whole time. Showers.
Sure.
You have to manage the way you shower. And people think, oh, it must be filthy as far as like trash. Trash everywhere. They try and say, is it like Coachella or is it like Mardi Gras or Lollapalooza? You can't picture it. And it is really nothing like you do. So one, they think, oh, it just got to look like Woodstock. This just people just climbing.
That's how I picture it.
Yeah, all over each other, yeah. And just trash everywhere. There's no trash anywhere. Zero. If somebody drops a thing, a gum wrapper, somebody will either pick it up and say, excuse me, it's called MOOP. Trash is material out of place.
Okay.
Because the Bureau of Land Management says it's got to be a zero trace event, that it never even took place. And so people, you manage your own trash. So they don't provide trash cans or dumpsters anywhere that are going to be overflowing. You just have to manage your own trash and take it out with you. So it's dusty, but it's actually very clean regarding trash.
But how do you, I'm looking at pictures that you just posted, and we shared some stuff on our Facebook, by the way, Facebook.com/KX935. You're literally dressed like a Tuscan Raider. You're wearing like a huge gas mask and like a jihad helmet. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand how you keep yourself clean.
You don't keep yourself dust free. You just get used to dust. And to breathe, it's an alkali dust. So to breathing it, you can get by some days when it's no breeze at all. You don't need anything on. Other days, you might just have a handkerchief over you. And then other days, you need the full on respirator, you know, like a commercial respirator to breathe comfortably.
And everybody brings one of those, just knowing?
Not everybody, but eventually, because it's such a gift economy, I put the 10 principles of Burning Man up. There's sort of this umbrella of not laws, but guidelines,
okay,
of the frame of mind you should be in when you go. One of them is gifting. And a lot of people come back. When I come back, they go, oh, I hear you. You know, you barter, you trade. It's like, no, you don't barter or trade. You gift. You go to give. So there's people that go there and give. We give 1,000 tequila shots a day away for 6 days. We gave away nearly 6,000 tequila shots. We have a lounge called the Leopard Lounge. We rub people's feet.
How much tequila did you have?
It's a lot. Well, we get a lot donated in our big camp. There's big camps that are set up. You can participate in a camp. You can go by yourself, or you can become a member, a functioning participant of a camp. And these camps can be 500 people big, you know, people like-minded that share your interest.
So that's what you had, a large group of people.
VW bus camp. When my first year I went in 2006, I went in my VW van and I thought, geez, I want to know people before I go. And I just found that and it sounded like fun. I knew I was going to set up my own little camp around my bus. And now I don't have a VW anymore, but the camp that we still affiliate with is VW bus camp.
Okay.
Which is awesome.
So, you know, people build these amazing things. You built a spa and lounge type thing.
Day spa.
Yeah. What are some of the other stuff that becomes erected?
Oh my gosh. Well, huge art projects. I mean, there's always the temple. Burning Man always has a temple, which will be the biggest feature at Burning Man. And it is a sacred space. So there's always a bit of, whether you want to think of it or not, there's always sort of a sacred overlay over the event, because the tallest thing in it is the temple. And okay. This year, the temple was a pyramid. Geometry and pyramids were everywhere at Burning Man.
Is it cultish at all in that way?
I don't get that vibe, but I'm sure there are people that are deep into Burning Man culture, and they can be the angry ones like, wow, 10 years ago, Burning Man was this, and it's ruined now. Rich people come in their million-dollar buses, you know, and it's one of the principles of Burning Man is radical inclusivity. So, you know, you're missing the point if you're going, well, rich people are ruining it. Radical inclusion means everybody comes and everybody's welcome. You don't stop because of XYZ, delineage.
Right.
So rich people and corporate executives are coming now, but they're welcome. They're asked to participate as much as anybody else.
Sure.
So
I think you mentioned to me that a lot of the greatest minds of our generation have gone to Burning Man. One of them being Elon Musk.
Yes.
Who found Tesla and PayPal and everything.
Huge celebrities go, and because everybody's in goggles, and I mean a celebrity, the biggest star in the world, musician, whatever, can walk around and not be noticed because you're all covered and everything else. And yeah, I've heard that tons of corporate. I posted my photo album on the Facebook page, and Google's first. Doodle, their little thing where they changed their official logo, was of Burning Man, because so many of the Google people went to Burning Man. You know, it's like, we're not here. So they just left the little stick man behind their logo saying that's where we are. It is truly an amazing experiment in social culture. I mean, TED Talks broadcasts from there. It's not dumb people. It's very creative, intelligent people who can rally money and ideas and people behind things. It's a mind-blowing experience, the energy that goes behind it. And it is a temporary city, and then it either gets burned or taken away to where it's nothing left.
Well, there's a lot more to talk about here. We're here with Eric Rankin from Awakening Code Radio. We're talking about Burning Man, which he attended a couple weeks ago, and a lot of people are familiar with the allure and the mystery of it, but maybe not exactly what goes on. So join the conversation if you'd like this morning, 949-715-5936. That's 715-KXFM. And we'll be right back with more on KX93.5.
Ghosts crowd the young child's fragile eggshell mind.
I feel like a really weird Doors song fits our conversation well right now. We're in studio on KX93.5. I'm Tyler Russell. Eric Rankin is over there from Awakening Code Radio. We have been talking about Burning Man, as he attended a couple weeks ago, and there's a lot of unanswered questions for people who have never been to Burning Man. We have the whole thing recorded, so if you missed the beginning of this, we'll podcast it online. I think the most interesting thing you just mentioned off the air is that somebody did a documentary. They showed up naked to see if they could be sustainable without anything at Burning Man. And the truth is, you can, because of the gifting system, right?
Right, yeah. You can go there with nothing. And seriously, there's this little subculture belief system that the playa, the desert lake, it's a dry lake bed. It's an alkali lake bed. It's called a playa. It's the biggest dry lake bed in the world, actually. It's bigger than Bonneville Salt Flats or any of those. And there's a term the playa provides. And it's almost as if by magic, you just happen to say, gosh, my car just broke down and I happen to need a starter motor for a 1967 Dodge. And a guy will behind you go, did you say a 1967 Dodge? I happen to have the starter I tore out of it. You know, it just, that happens so often. It's amazing. But yes, you could go. There are so many people there with the intent of gifting and gifting survival needs, water, food, clothing, that you could absolutely be 100% fine. That didn't even sound like much of an experiment to me. But for someone not familiar with the culture, it sounds like, wow.
Yeah, it sounds like a big deal. There's no money exchanged except for maybe buying like a basic need like ice.
Ice is sold by Burning Man, and coffee is served in this big place called Center
but
Camp.
But everything else you rely on getting from somebody else.
Or you brought it
even,
in.
You're not even saying that, hey, oh yeah, give me your water. I'll give you gum. They just give it to
that
you.
That's right. That would never be said. You're never going to trade or barter. That's a thing that is hard for people to understand. And it's so weird for me, because if I'm there for 8, 9, 10 days, the longest I've been away is 10 days at one time. When you go back off Playa and you're back in what they call the default world, back in what we call the real world, is you when you go to buy something, one of the first things you drive through is an Indian reservation, and there's these little trailers selling Indian tacos and stuff. And okay, that'll be $7, and you like reach in your wallet and pull this piece of green paper out, and it feels very foreign.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait, I just was had everything provided for me, great food, great conversation, great friendship, all these things, and now I'm back to reaching in the wallet and pulling money out.
Although it costs something like $350 to go,
yeah.
Really, you could kind of make money on the deal. Yeah, if you almost. Showed up, you know what I mean?
Seriously, if that was your intent, yeah. you could say, I'm not taking any. We used to take so much food and we would just give it away. So now we take food to know that we could survive, but it's very simple, like sustainable food, like stews you could just heat up and water and snacks and Cliff Bars and things. But so often, maybe it's because of our lounge, people are reciprocating, but we never have to think about where our next meal is coming from. That's for a week.
So what after all of this and this cultural phenomenon and this idea of gifting and you're in this environment, what do you gain after all of this?
Wow. The takeaway, I think, is the most important thing is that I come back and you don't want the world could not be like Burning Man. Burning Man could not be like Burning Man much more than a week and you'd be over it. I mean, it's sensory overload. It's all these things. But you can take some of those 10 principles, like I put on the Facebook page for the KX93.5, principles of gifting. I started doing something. I make little cheap little bracelets. And if somebody notices that I'm wearing a bracelet and say, oh, I like your bracelet, which happens here all the time in Laguna, I say, oh, I make them for nice people who give compliments to other people. And they like stop and they realize that means them. And I just give them a bracelet. And people are just like, at Burning Man, that would be nothing. But here it's like, oh my gosh, I cannot
even
believe
the smallest gifting mentality.
And it could be a gift of a smile or a kind gesture. A random act of kindness can be your gift. And it's always possible to do those things throughout a day.
Well, that's the nicest thing I think you possibly could take away from it.
It is. And I mean, you really want.
Do people go there expecting that ethereal, drug-induced Woodstock experience? They come out really having that much nicer, positive experience out of it?
I don't know. I think if you go in expecting too much, you've already almost pre-ruined it a little bit. If you think I know I'm going to have this type of experience or I plan on this, if you overplan, you'll miss it. They give a guidebook that's as big as a little phone book. And I see people reading through that. They sit in our lounge like, okay, at 3 o'clock, there's like these 10 things we need to choose from that are happening way over here and over here. And I got to choose. And then it didn't even happen at the time they said. You just kind of show up and wander and see what materializes. And it's usually much more magical. So I always believe people have the experience they're supposed to have, whether it was off the charts amazing or you went inside and had a very challenging, not so great time, that if you think about it and sit with it, it's probably the experience you were supposed to have.
And you would recommend that almost anybody go, whether it's 3 days or a week. I mean, it's worth experiencing.
Yeah, I think you listen to your body. If you plan on going for a week and you became dehydrated, which is the number one thing people do is they do not drink enough water, you can feel really sick for a couple of days. So either you're down those days or you decide to leave. I mean, I think you really have to listen to your inner guidance of what's healthy for you. Is it a good experience for you? If not, you leave anytime you want.
There's medical stuff there.
There's tons
of
medical, full-on medical on the street grids. There are medical offices. There's a volunteer ranger that works amazing. Laguna has something very similar, actually, with our volunteer patrols.
Sure.
Actually driving what look like cop cars that say patrol, and they're just volunteers.
Right.
Burning Man has something similar with volunteer rangers. So there's just more eyes and people out that if something goes bad, you can find somebody quickly, and then they have the radios, and they have the response. And yes, amazing doctors. I mean, doctors, full-on EMT physicians will volunteer their time. I've never been in one of those facilities, but I can hear they can do just about anything.
Wow. Again, we're talking about Burning Man, which took place a couple weeks ago. It's always the week before Labor Day. Can people like already get their tickets for next year?
No.
How does it work?
Oh, no, it's a mad dash. 2012 was this big mess that went to a lottery system and people that always...
So they do have a capacity.
They have a capacity, and it was increased this year a lot from... It's gone from... Ever since it moved from San Francisco in the early days, say 25, 30 years ago, to out to this dry lake bed. It's called Black Rock Desert, about 100 miles north of Reno. They get a permit from the Bureau of Land Management of number of people. And it's grown every year. I mean, I think when they first went out, there was like 7,000. Now it's 70,000.
Jeez.
It's amazing. But and that's an increase of 20,000 over last year.
But it still sells out.
It still sells out. It sold out this year. Yeah. So, yes, you get your ticket. They announce it. They have this first run. They do have like scholarships, like sponsorships. If you have a hardship story to tell Burning Man, you can get a ticket cheaper. They don't want you to ever buy a ticket from a scalper. If they find out that you did pay overpriced or scalpers were selling over ticket price, the ticket is in jeopardy itself because it's logged in and coded. So, mm-hmm. you know, they really try. And if you end up not going and you have your ticket, you're expected to just sell it at face value on eBay or Craigslist, whatever. It's very much works on an honor system. There's tons of freedom in the framework of Burning Man. And it is like this huge circle. Oddly enough, it is shaped like a circle, the city. Circle of trust that if humanity is given more freedom, is it become more chaos or does it become more like the best of what humanity is?
Right.
And that's really what happens. It becomes more the best of. That's really interesting.
I feel like it really sheds light on the good that
absolutely
humanity is.
It invites the good and that's what shows up.
Yep. You know, when you get home, I guess speaking a little bit more about the takeaway, does it make you not lock your door anymore? I never
locked my door anyway. But
be trusting more.
You definitely believe you have more hope for humanity. You absolutely do. Because in the freedom, in the framework, the light framework that is allowed, you see that people really do want to connect. They want to give. They want to share the best of themselves. At least the people that go there from all over the world, I'm going to say 40% at least, come from outside of the United States, where it's a big deal. It costs people $5,000 to get to Burning Man,
right,
to fly and stay in hotels and rent motorhomes and all that. So these people definitely are drawn by the umbrella principles of what Burning Man is. And I don't think anybody would be disappointed if that was your intent for going.
Great. Again, Burning Man, which happens the week before Labor Day every year. Eric Rankin from Awakening Code Radio. You can hear him at 10 p.m. tonight.
Yeah.
What's going on your show tonight? Let's talk about
that.
Oh, my
gosh. We have an angel channeler. Her name is Stephanie Lodge. We invite the conversation is about awakening, you know, in a broad scope that we kind of believe that this world is waking up globally into a higher state of consciousness, sort of fed by social media. And so we invite lots of people that feed into the conversation of, are we awakening? Are we waking up into what? And so tonight we have this woman, Stephanie Lodge, who is an angel channeler. She believes she is constantly in contact with this higher realm and has her own webpage and does healing work. So it should be an interesting conversation.
Cool. Well, you have the most explosive show on our radio station for a reason. So people should certainly listen tonight. 10 p.m. to Eric Rankin here on KX93.5 or KX935.com. Thanks for informing us of Burning Man Mysteries.
Thanks, Tyler.
Really
I love
cool.
talking about
Thank you very much.
See ya.
Here's the band Last Gold Tooth on KX93.5.